morning, sir, and before we get started, what is your name, sir?
Mark Norton.
Okay, now the Honorable Mr. Micah Johnson will chair your hearing at this time, sir. The next voice you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Micah Johnson. So just hold on and he will be with you very shortly, sir.
Good morning, sir. Could you just please state your name, your full name, and your ABC number for us for the record, please?
Mark Norton. ADC is 309-837.
Okay, thank you, sir. So I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. To coming down the line is the Honorable Luis Quinones. To my immediate right is our board chair, Dr. C.T. Wright. And to my left is the Honorable David Neal, sir. And my name is Michael Johnson, and I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, sir. I see we got some phone calls today, too. So if you just stand by a moment, we have one phone call to make of someone who wants to be in on the hearing, so we're going to go ahead and do that at this time.
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Wright, sir.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Could you ask Mr. Norton to position himself differently so we can see him on the camera?
Good.
There.
Yeah, there you go.
There. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Norton, please.
Yes, sir.
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Diplomacy. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing for your husband this morning. So if you would hold on, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson is in the process of conducting the hearing. Thank you so very much.
All right.
Just ask one other question. Is there anybody here for Mr. Norton? Because I don't see anyone on the list. I just want to make sure. Okay. There's no one. Okay. Please go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Norton, this is a hearing for a regular parole, home arrest, or a absolute discharge.
Huh?
I'm talking to Mr. Norton at this time. This is a parole hearing for an absolute discharge, home arrest, or a regular parole for Mr. Norton at this time. Ms. Norton, what I'm going to do, Mr. Norton is on another phone, so I'm going to be talking to him. When I conclude talking to him and the board, then we're going to come to you with any additional information that you may want to provide to the board, okay?
All right.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Norton is currently serving a 5-year sentence for sexual abuse, dangerous crime against children, attempt to commit. He became parole eligible on July 6th of 2017. He is actually, since end date is January 6th of 1920. Mr. Norton is serving this sentence that he is has to do with a sentence for a felon to register as a level 3 sex offender. Mr. Norton has violated the terms and conditions of his probation on 4 separate occasions. In 2006, 2010, 2011, and 2015. On each occasion he was reinstated, he was convicted in 2016 for failing to register as a sex offender and sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Ms. Norton?
Can you just kind of remain silent? We're just going through some of the details of why he's incarcerated and Mr. Norton is on the other line, and then we'll get back to you at that time, okay?
All right, thank you.
So on August 5th of 1991, Mr. Norton pled guilty to one count of attempt sexual abuse. The Class III felony. He was sentenced to a lifetime on probation and 1 year jail time on April 27th, 1992. Following his release, Mr. Norton was extradited back to Kansas City, where he pled guilty to 4 counts of aggravated incest in the form of looting, funneling, or touching of a minor under the age of 18 known to be related to him. He was convicted on August 7, 1992 on all 4 counts and sentenced to 10 to 24 years in prison term there. After serving his term there, he then returned back to Phoenix where he continued on his probation.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, Ms. Norton, but this is just information that, if you could just remain silent until we come to you, this is just information that we have to present to the board and that we have to go through in reference to a hearing. It's a process that we're going through at this time. So if you could just remain silent until we come back to you, then I would certainly appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Norton states on his inmate progress report that he would stay with his friend Kathleen Anderson at 3526 West Rose Avenue in Glendale. He believed his former employer at BASC LLC, cabinet manufacturer, would reemploy him. The company owner will let the manager make the determination. Mr. Norton has not received any disciplinary infractions. Recommended standard condition for supervision. According to the court documents, for sexual assault on his 13-year-old daughter. So, Mr. Norton?
Yeah?
No, not Mr. Norton, not Ms. Norton, Mr. Norton.
Oh.
Okay, Mr. Norton?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir, so is anything about that, what I just read, is that not true?
No, it seems to be part true.
Okay, well, what part is not true, sir?
I think when I was registering, I was not a level 3.
Okay.
But other than that, yes, everything's true.
Okay, we were just going by the court record. So, Mr. Norton, in your own words, you want to tell the board what occurred or what transpired during this period of time?
You mean my violation or?
Well, your violation, sir, and what led up to you being on lifetime probation?
Well, I have gone through counseling and we've gone over all the, what they call contributing factors. And since my counseling, I have come to believe that I cannot blame it on what my father did to me because I was an adult when I did it. I cannot blame it on drugs or alcohol because I wasn't doing drugs or alcohol. About the only thing I can say is I went crazy, got stupid, and did things I never should have done and hurt people I wish to God I never could have hurt.
So Mr. Norton, this incident involved the sexual assault with a minor, involved your daughters. They were your natural daughters?
Yes, sir.
And so you've been to training in some classes, so what was the thing that caused you to be able to do that? What was the trigger?
Well, it was my upbringing. I had gotten injured and I could no longer do my military stuff, so I was feeling like I was no good to anybody anymore. I was no good to the Army anymore. So it was kind of like a culmination of all kinds of things and stuff that I was dealing with, carrying over from the Army that I hadn't dealt with until many, many years later.
Okay, so sir, I mean, this happened over a period of time in Kansas, and then you came to Phoenix, and then got charged, and you went back to Kansas, did time, and then you came back to Phoenix and had the several probation violations, because according to the court documents, you had several probation violations, four probation violations, sir?
Yes, sir.
And so why, if you knew what your trigger were, why was it that you continued to violate your probation while you were out, sir?
I had not received any counseling for the stuff I needed counseling for. I had discussed this with my probation officer once back in, I think it was 2010. And I told her that dealing with the sex offense, while important, did not deal with everything. I needed other things, other types of counseling, and I was told I couldn't get it there, so I had to, eventually I went and sought it myself, but not until after a few violations.
So what did you find out that after you had those violations? Because you were on regular parole and they put you on intense probation, you was on regular probation, they put you on intense probation supervision because you continue to violate. So I'm trying to understand, sir, while you were out and on probation and had to be moved, you violated four times. What is it that has changed that will assure us that you no longer will be involved in these type of activities?
Since July of 2015, I have been in counseling for PTSD, first with the Veterans Administration in Phoenix, and continuing here ever since I got here. And that is what I needed before but was not getting.
So how long?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
That is what was missing, and I really did not realize that is what was missing until the last violation when I was in the county jail, and the guy that was in the cell with me told me about some of the things I was yelling at night, like night terrors and stuff like that.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. Hearing no questions from the board, sir, I'm going to go to Ms. Norton at this time and get any information from Ms. Norton that she'd like to present to the board. Ms. Norton?
Yes.
Okay, you can go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board at this time.
Does he listen to what I said?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. He can hear what you're saying.
All right. One, he shouldn't do what he did. Two, I know he changed and everything else. He eats, how do I say it? Dangers of the society at all. Because all he does is come home, go to work, stay in the house. He getting nothing at the house. He need to talk to me, not go out and do that what he did. And he is a good guy. He does work. He does do what he wants to do. But he has to change a lot more. And I trust him when he's out. Does that because everybody does make mistakes.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, Ms. Norton?
That's it. But, you know, he's a good guy. He's dangerous for anybody, or none of the minors. You know what I mean? That's all.
Okay, I didn't quite understand that last statement that you made.
Oh, he ain't dangerous with no minors at all.
You don't think he's dangerous? Huh? You don't think he's dangerous with minors? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because, you know, I've never seen little kids around him. When we go to the store, he get a kid right there. He turn around, he's up in deep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He know what he has to do.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Norton. Let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. The board has no questions for you, Ms. Norton. If you remain on the line and just remain silent, what we're going to do is go back to Mr. Norton. Then the board is going to go into discussion. We'll make a decision as to what we're going to do. I also see, Brian, you have a letter from the victim. Okay, so if you want to come up at this time, then go ahead.
All right. Good morning. My name is Brian Bilby. I'm a victim advocate with the Arizona Department of Corrections, and I have a letter from the victim, Marcia Scott Norton, a victim of Martin Odom Jr. I'd like to read to you today. Okay. I'm Marcia Scott Norton, a victim of Martin Odom Sr. would like you to take into consideration the effects of his crime when you consider him for parole today. Mark is my father, and the crime he is in here for is against me. He assaulted me sexually as a child, and until he went to sentencing in 2016, he never apologized for what he did to me as a child. He still has not admitted to everything he has done. He took my childhood from me for his own selfish needs, and it has never bothered him. He has never shown remorse, and somehow has made everyone think he has always been my fault. He did serve time in Kansas for it and was paroled and has been on lifetime probation for it in Arizona. But that is it. He has violated his probation numerous times prior to this incarceration and has always been granted more probation. He doesn't follow the rules or respect the law. He does what he wants all the time with no care, no remorse, and no consequences. He is very convincing and will tell you how he works hard to support my mother by going to work every day, how she has medical issues and how he supports her with those issues and how she needs him and he won't violate again. All things he has said before to this last parole that was granted to him from Kansas in 1998, his record shows he does not follow the rules and he does what he thinks he can do and hopes he won't get caught. My mother was his chaperone, and she could not, nor would she tell him what not to do or make sure he followed the terms of his probation. Her and my family, Christine and James Barnes, enable him to do whatever he wants to and helps him hide his mess ups and even covers for him. They cannot be trusted to watch him and make sure he stays on the straight and narrow. They believe he should be done with the system since he has served some time. Well, I'm never done serving time for what he did to me. It has always caused trust issues with men. My daughters are not allowed to be left alone with their father, and I never allowed for their father to bathe them or even change their diapers out of fear of what might be done to them. I don't like sexual intercourse because of the very detailed memories that it brings back, and therefore my husband ended up leaving me for a woman that was more sexual. My family has disowned me for what my father has done to me, and therefore my innocent children have been disowned as well. I still have nightmares about him coming into my room at night. What he did to me haunts me every day of my life, regardless of how long he has served, and it doesn't bother him. He only cares about being free to do what he wants. He doesn't tell people why he served prison time, because he doesn't believe he should have. That is why he doesn't care about the rules. He needs to follow them when he's in society. He states he will do what is ordered, yet history shows he doesn't follow through with that, and if released again, he will still won't listen because he believes he committed no crime, and my family backs him up regardless of the evidence. Mark my words, and is a good provider to my stepmom, but that only makes him a good provider. His blatant disrespect for the law proves that he is not a good asset to society. His numerous violations prove that he is not a law-abiding citizen and doesn't want to be. If he is released on parole and back to probation, he will do what he deems as his right to do and be back in prison again, unless they give him probation again when he does violate again. How can we teach him that this is not acceptable? In Kansas, he got violated. In Kansas, he got paroled and violated, got probation and violated when he moved to Arizona. He continuously violated his probation. These are not accusations. The proof is in front of you in black and white. When is enough going to be enough? When will he finally learn? I ask you to please deny his parole to teach him that the law is the law, that every crime has a punishment, and when you don't abide by the rules, then every action has a consequence and you must be punished. Thank you again for listening to me. Cecilia Marsha Scott Norton.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Norton, we're coming back to you now, Mr. Norton. You heard all the information. The board's going to be going into discussion, sir, shortly. I want to give you the opportunity before the board goes into discussion, sir, to give the board any information or anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir.
No, it's fine.
Yes, sir. I never apologized to my victim because I was never allowed to speak with her. I wrote several letters for counseling to her, letters of apology that were not allowed to be sent because of a no contact order. That does not negate the fact that I'm extremely sorrowful for the harm I caused her. And if there's any way possible, any way I could undo what I did, I would have undone it many years ago. I hurt people I cared the most about, and there was no way I can ever pay enough for what I had done. I understand that. If there was something I could do to make up for it, I would. So I am extremely sorrowful and apologetic for the pain and suffering I have caused people that I care the most about. In Kansas, I never violated parole. I completed parole and went back to Arizona. If there's anything I could say or anything I could do, I would be more than willing to hear it and do it.
Okay, sir. Thank you. The board is going to go into discussion, Mr. Norton. It may appear as though we're talking to you, but we're only going to be talking amongst ourselves. We'll be able to make a determination as to what the decision on the board is going to be. Sir, I'm going to ask you, Ms. Norton?
Am I there?
Ma'am?
I can hear.
Okay. So, Ms. Norton, I'm going to ask you and Mr. Norton to remain silent while the board's into discussing. We're
right
here. We may be talking to
all
you,
right,
but we're only going to be talking
right
amongst ourselves. So we'll make a decision at that time as to what to do with Mr. Norton and what decision the board is going to make, and then we'll get back to you and let you know what our decision is going to be. However, you will be able to hear the discussion and hear the discussion amongst the board members as we come to a conclusion and make a decision, okay?
All right, then.
All right. Mr. Norton?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So the board is now going into discussion. This is a case where Mr. Norton essentially abused his own daughter. Happened in Kansas, and he did receive some time in Kansas. Ford went to prison for 10 to 24 years and came out here to Phoenix and pled guilty, where he continued the abuse, where he had attempted sexual assault and pled guilty here and was sentenced to 1 year in the Maricopa County Jail and a lifetime of probation. And then he went back to Kansas where he served out his time there in Kansas. Then he returned, after completing his time there in Kansas, he returned to Phoenix on a lifetime probation. During the time that he was on the lifetime probation and back here in Phoenix, he had four major violations that occurred while he was on probation. It didn't appear that he was going to follow the directions of his probation, and they put him on a closer supervised probation as a result of his violation of his probation during that period of time. And I think all of the probation charges that he violations were serious. However, he seemed to get reinstated on each of those charges, and then he received a 5-year sentence for failure to register as a Class 3 sex offender, and was sentenced as a result of that to the 5 years in prison. At this point in time, because of Mr. Norton's record and the opportunities that he had and the time that he was actually out on parole, that he violated his parole, I do not think it is suitable or safe for the community for Mr. Norton to be passed on to parole at this time. That's my opinion.
All right.
Ms. Norton, you're going to have to remain silent until we conclude our discussion, okay? So I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board.
Okay.
If there are no comments coming from the board, then I am going to make a motion at this time. I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Norton a parole, regular parole, home arrest, or an absolute discharge.
Second.
Agree.
Okay. Mr. Norton, I'm also going to ask for a 1-year set off.
Agree.
So, Mr. Norton, the board has voted to deny you the regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest at this time, sir. We've also asked for a 1-year set off, which would mean that you'll be eligible to come back before this board in, within or about 1 year. I don't know what the exact date would be, but you'll be eligible to come back before this board when DOC certifies you in about a year to come back before this board. Sir, I do want to thank you for participating in this.
Reasons for denial.
So your reasons for denial is going to be, I think sexual assault to a minor is a serious and violent offense, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim as they were minors when this occurred. I'm going to say serious bodily injury because the victim is still suffering as a result of it. I'm also going to mark that you violated your previous probation. You had a prior criminal history. I'm going to put a repeat offender since he has continued that. I'm going to put need closer supervision. I'm not going to mark lack of programming there. He does has had some program. Those are going to be my reasons for denial. So, Mr. Norton, the board has voted. Did you hear the reasons for your denial, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board has voted to deny your parole for a home arrest, absolute discharge, or a regular parole at this time, sir. You will be certified, as I was saying. In about a year, the Department of Corrections will certify you to come back before this board. Mr. Norton, I do want to thank you for participating in your hearing, and that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Ms. Norton, that's going to conclude the hearing at this time. We thank both of you for participating.
Okay, thank you.